Spiritual path. The need for the perception of the divine makes us spare no effort in attempting to solve all of nature's mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, either in ourselves or in our environment. But only the yearning to perceive the Creator is true, since He is the source of everything, and above all, He is our Creator. Therefore, if a human being existed alone in this world or in other worlds, the search for the self would inevitably bring each human being to the search for the Creator. There are two lines in perceiving the Creator's influence on His creations. The right line represents the personal providence over each of us, regardless of our actions. The left line represents the providence over each of us, depending on our actions. It stands for the punishment for evil deeds and the reward for good ones. When a person chooses for himself a certain time to proceed along the right line, that person must tell himself that everything in the world happens only because the Creator wants it to happen. Everything proceeds according to His plan, and nothing depends on the person himself. From this point of view, the person has neither faults nor merits. His actions are determined by the aspirations that he receives from the outside. One must therefore thank the Creator for all that one receives from Him. Moreover, realizing that the Creator leads one to eternity, a person can develop feelings of love for the Creator. To move forward is possible with a proper combination of the right and left lines, exactly in the middle of them. That is, a person can advance only along the line that is exactly halfway between them. Yet even if he begins to advance from a correct starting point, if he doesn't know exactly how to continually check and correct this, he is sure to deviate from the correct path. Furthermore, if one makes even the slightest deviation at any point along the journey, then even if the person continues moving forward, the error will increase with every step. Consequently, the person will get further and further from the set goal. Before our soul descends into this world, it's part of the Creator, a tiny element of Him. This element is known as the root of the soul. The Creator places the soul into the body so that the soul can elevate the body's desires when the soul rises and merges with the Creator again. In other words, the soul is placed into the body, meaning a person is born into this world, in order to overcome the desires of the body and, despite them, to ascend even during a person's lifetime to the spiritual level that the soul possessed before it descended into this world. In overcoming the desires of the body, the soul ascends to the same spiritual level it descended from, experiencing far greater pleasure than it had in its initial state when it was part of the Creator. At this point, a tiny element is transformed into a whole spiritual body and is 620 times greater than was the original element before it descended into this world. Thus, in its complete state, the spiritual body of the soul consists of 620 parts, or organs. Each part is considered to be a spiritual law or a spiritual act, mitzvah. The light of the Creator, or the Creator Himself, which are the same, that fill every part of the soul is called Torah. When one ascends to a new spiritual level, it's called fulfilling a spiritual law. As a result of this elevation, new altruistic desires are created and the soul receives the Torah, the light of the Creator, or the Creator Himself. The true path to this goal proceeds along the middle line. This implies combining three concepts into one: the human being, the path to follow, and the Creator. Indeed, there exist three objects in the world: the human being, one who is striving to return to the Creator; the path, which one needs to follow in order to reach the Creator; and the Creator, the goal toward which a person is striving. As has been said many times, there is nothing that truly exists except the Creator, and we are but His creations, endowed with a sense of our own existence. An individual comes to realize and perceive this clearly in the course of his spiritual ascent. All of our perceptions, or rather the perceptions we see as our own, are but responses to the divine acts produced in us by Him, i.e., in the end, our feelings are only what He wants us to feel. As long as a person has not yet achieved a full comprehension of this truth, he sees not one, but three separate concepts: the self, the path to the Creator, and the Creator Himself. However, once a person has reached the final stage of spiritual development, once he has ascended again to the same level from which his soul descended, only this time, instilled with all of his desires corrected, can that person receive the Creator completely into his spiritual body. That person also receives all the light of the Creator and the Creator Himself. In this manner, the three objects that once existed separately in a person's perception of the self, one's spiritual path and the Creator, merge to become a single entity, the spiritual body filled with light. Therefore, to ensure that one proceeds correctly, a person must conduct regular checks as one advances on the spiritual path. This will assure that one strives for all three objects with an equally powerful desire from the very outset, irrespective of the fact that the three objects are perceived by that person to be separate. From the outset, one must work to blend them into one. At the end of the path, this will be apparent. They are, in fact, apparent now, even though a person is not able to see them yet as such, due to his own imperfection. If a person strives for one of the three objects more than the others, that person will immediately deviate from the true path. The simplest way to check whether one remains on the true path is to determine whether the person is striving to comprehend the characteristics of the Creator in order to become one with Him. If I am not for me, then who is for me? And if I am only concerned with myself, then what am I? These contradictory statements reflect the attitude of a person towards his own efforts to attain a set personal goal. On the one hand, a person must believe that there is no one to turn to for help but himself and act with the certainty that his good deeds will be rewarded and his evil deeds will be punished. In other words, an individual must believe that his own actions have direct consequences and that a person is the true builder of his own future. But on the other hand, he must say to himself, "Who am I to be able to defeat my own nature by myself? Yet no one else can help me either."